Father, I just truly do thank you right now, and I praise you, and I give you honor and all glory. You are the true King, and you are the true Lord. And each one that came in here this morning, Father God, came for a purpose. They need more of you. They want things changed in their lives. And they're looking to you, Father, the author and finisher of their lives, to speak into their lives and give them hope. And Father God, we just give you full reign in this house this morning. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to be about the Father's business. Angelic host, we ask you to be doing what the Father's telling you to do. And Father God, we are expecting miracle after miracle to be occurring in our midst. We know, Father God, that the miracles are in the glory. So, Father God, we're pulling on the glory this morning. And we're asking you, Father God, to do what you do best. And that's to minister to your people. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, what God wants us to do is be adamant in our walk with him. We can no longer just walk. We have to be adamant. We have to walk with a purpose. Each footstep you make should be for a purpose. And we need to be about the Father's business with purpose. And just not saying, well, I go to church. You need to go to church with purpose. The lukewarm churches are going to be done away with, according to God. And the only ones that are going to be remaining are the ones that are on fire for him and who are walking in the Spirit. So, you know, you can determine what type of church you want, you know, in your own vessel. Are you a lukewarm church? I'm just talking about yourself. Or are you on fire for God and have sold yourself out totally and completely to God and told him, here I am, just use me. You have to really think. I don't know what kind of battles you are going through, but I know the battles are intense. And we have to think each and every day, what kind of vessel am I? Am I one that can endure what I have to endure? Or am I weak and I'll fall? I was sitting there doing praise and worship and thinking about the disciples. And, you know, I was thinking about how God pulled Paul into the circle. And if you really read the word, he used Paul to bring the churches to Christ. And so I was thinking about this, and, you know, the disciples were familiar with Jesus, and they weren't as committed as what Paul was when God brought Paul onto the scene. But Peter and the others finally got committed, and God used them mightily. But it's Paul who suffered worse than Jesus did. Think about this. What I'm saying here is, are you going to lose your mantle because you're familiar with God, with the Spirit, and you're not taking it serious enough? And is God going to bring somebody in out of the world and give them power and authority in your mantle to do what you should be doing? Very serious stuff. I think about this every day. And I want to make sure that I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing so that God doesn't have to bring somebody else in to give my mantle to them. Are you hearing this? And if you're really, truly committed solely and completely to God, the enemy's going to fight you every inch of the way. He's not going to give you any relief, and God said that's because he's trying to wear us out. Don't let him wear you out. If you feel like that you know, you're being worn out, go to the Father. Cry out to him. I've been born again since 77, but always went to church, but I've been born again in 77. Then you become a real child of God then, when you become born again. And I have never fought as hard as I'm fighting now. And I think that each one of you who truly are walking with God can say the very same thing. It's getting harder and harder and harder to stand your ground but we have to stand our ground. All we have to do is cry out to God, and He will strengthen us. He will give us whatever we need to go through the day, because He never leaves us nor forsakes us. All right? This is important, guys, that you came in here, and this is what God wants you to hear. This is important. Some of you are getting ready to fall. You're stumbling right now, and you're getting ready to fall because you can't stand the intensity of the heat that Satan's bringing your way. If you really study Paul, he lost everything. Spent most of his time in prison being beat. But he still stood his ground. He still finished his race. I have to draw on Paul every day. You know, as a human being, we draw on Christ every day. We pull on Jesus and Holy Spirit. But I look to Paul, who was a human being from the get-go. Jesus, you know, was the Son of God and came down. And I watch how he endured. And I listen to the words he speaks to us about enduring. And I know if he can make it, I can make it. And we all have to understand that from day one, we were meant to suffer. Read your word, it says so. And people don't want to suffer. And I'm no different to you. There's times I have to go in and shut the door and just cry out to God. How much longer, God, are you going to allow this to go on? And if you don't have that problem, that's great. That's wonderful. But I'm just telling those who do have that problem, where the fire gets so hot, you think you don't know, you wonder, can I endure any more of the flame? But when you go to God, He gives you endurance, He gives you strength, He gives you whatever it takes to keep going on day by day. This morning, God wants to talk about disappointment. All right, just exactly what is disappointment? It's the feeling of sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. Disappointment will often make us feel vulnerable and unsure of what to do next or where to turn. A lot of us are in that position many, many times right now. Moses was a man who understood disappointment. If anyone was ever faced with a repeated disappointment, it was Moses. So you have to look at the characters in the Bible, the ones that were really anointed by God and the ones God really was using, and look what they went through. Every one of them went through trial after trial after trial, but they endured. Now, two key reasons for disappointment. Moses had two reasons to be disappointed. Number one, first, he was disappointed in people. Don't we all go there? Because his expectations that his people would understand what he wanted to do for them and would accept him were not fulfilled. How many of us are like that? Let's read that again. First, Moses was disappointed in people. Why? Because his expectations that his people would understand what he wanted to do for them and would accept him were not fulfilled. They would not believe what Moses was saying. Every one of you sitting here in here this morning, you can say that that's one of your problems. You got disappointed in people because they let you down. They did not understand you, and they let you down. All right, number two. Moses was disappointed in his circumstances. How many of us are there at times? After years of privilege and education in Egypt, he certainly had never dreamed that he would spend the rest of his life tending sheep in a desert. What a discouraging future. I'm going to tell you right now, you who are ministers, evangelists, whatever you are or going to be, you're going to get there. God, I was going to do something great. And here I am out here in the desert all by myself with my harp singing to the sheep. Okay? You're going to go there if you already haven't. Today we become disappointed for precisely the same two reasons. When we set our hearts on people or on circumstances, we are usually disappointed. And I'm trying not to do that anymore because I've been disappointed like you wouldn't believe in the last month. with people. Now, you guys who are ministers, you're going to have to understand you're going to get disappointed with your people. You just are. There's no two ways around about it. God wants us to set our hearts only on Him. He wants us to trust in His goodness, even in the midst of our deepest disappointments. Are you listening here, guys? One day, yeah, just the other day, God said, I'm here. All you have to do is talk to me. I was sitting there talking to the wall and to myself. He said, you're not going to get anywhere doing that. He said, come and talk to me and I'll explain things to you. How many of you do that? Instead of going talking to God, you get all exasperated and you sit there and you act like you don't know what you're doing and you start talking to whatever's around you. Right? Trying to tell yourself you don't know what you're doing. All right, now let's see what God is. The green is what God has to say. Isn't that exactly where my body of believers are at? They thought and hoped for one thing, but an entirely different event occurred in their lives. When God called me into ministry, I didn't think how long I've been ministering since 1980, that I'd still be just ministering to a handful of people. Are you listening to this? Come on. It doesn't bother me, but I just thought I'd be further along because everybody else has started the same time I did. They're further along. All right. All right, isn't that exactly where my body of believers are at? They thought and hoped for one thing, but an entirely different event occurred in their lives. Then what happened? They went into complete denial. It's talking about us now. They went into complete denial, and they are floundering in the sea of absolute confusion, disillusionment, doubt, unbelief, and whatever else the enemy threw into the pot. Are you there? Come on. God said they have taken their focus off of me. Why? Totally because things did not turn out the way they supposed them to. Did they turn to me and receive answers? No. Instead, they started to listen to the mundane voices of the world and got caught up in their worldly ways until they totally lost their focus on me and my kingdom. Why do you suppose this happened? It happened because they were not rooted and grounded in me and committed to their calling in me. They broke their covenant with me and they began to believe the lie and drop the truth. This is where the church is at, guys. I don't care. You can say, no, that's not true. Yes, it is. I didn't say you were there. I said, the church is there. God said, does not my word speak of this? Does not my word warn you over and over again about the wiles of the enemy? Then why can you not stay on the straight and narrow path I have placed your feet upon? Ephesians 6:10-11 says, finally, we all know this scripture, but we don't believe it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil exaggerates the pleasures of sin while minimizing the true nature and outcome of sin. The devil sees an opening into our lives through emotions or mood. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin. How many are fighting that one? I'm fighting it big time. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. I have to pray for an hour to get that anger going so I can go to sleep. How about some of you, right? And give no opportunity to the devil. Some of you get angry, you go to bed, you go in the room, slam the door and say, poof on you, and you go to bed angry. And you just gave place to the devil, right? Just do like I do, just lay there and pray and pray and pray and pray until it finally leaves. Before you shut your eyes, guys, we can't let the devil have any space. And Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I put that in here because this is what God said. Are you a conqueror? Yes. And a resounding yes. Then why don't you act like one? Simple. You don't believe that statement. You have walked under the guise of the evil one so long that his sway over you is stronger than my love for you. That's quite a statement from God. Let's read that again. God said, he's asking you, are you a conqueror? Then he says, yes, and a resounding yes. Then why don't you act like one? Simple. You don't believe that statement. I'm going to tell you, I know some of you say, yes, I do. No, you don't. I want you. You do not walk like a conqueror. You have walked under the guise of the evil one so long that his sway over you is stronger than my love for you. God says, do you not understand that he sits on his throne in hell and delights in your backslidings? Children, children, do not allow this any longer. Do not allow the enemy of your soul to take you into the abyss. Stand up and stand tall and look him in the eye and tell him he is finished in your life, period. 5 minutes from now, you won't act like you just said that. That's the way it goes. He knows you're going to act different in 5 minutes. He knows you just didn't mean that statement you just said. He's sitting there laughing at you. Okay, you made that statement. We'll see. Come on. God said the winds of darkness have been blowing across the land for a season now, and they are getting stronger. You must understand that I have all power and authority, and I am coming to dispel the darkness and make my America great once again before the final battle between good and evil. You read that in Matthew 28:18. God says, keep your lights burning. Be saturated with the anointing of my Holy Spirit. Climb the mountain of success with me. See the enemy defeated on all sides. Guys, the minute you decide you're going to do that statement, here comes more of the enemy's men, and they're going to fight you stronger than ever. So if you're going to make all these wonderful statements, get ready for a fight. If you're not a fighter, please don't make these statements. You know, I've talked to Satan, I think it's 3 times, face to face. I know his schemes. I know how he acts. I know what he thinks about us Christians. He thinks that we are weak and feeble. We act weak and feeble. And all he has to do is throw some garbage at us and we fall. And that is the truth. And God tells you, don't listen to other men's voices. What do? You let other men tell you what to do. You let other men lead you around by the nose. When God told you, don't do that. Then you say, I'm strong. No, you're not. If a man you can see can lead you around in the nose, what do you think the devil that you can't see can do to you behind the scenes? God said, the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready, and you are the reapers of this mighty harvest. The souls are crying out for help. The souls are crying out for love. Who is going to answer those cries? Who is going to stand up to the evil forces and make them back down? Who? Every service we have, there's different people in here. And the reason that is because you are the ones that God needs to hear the messages that he's put forth for that day. God said, I have equipped you to do this. I have equipped you to tear down the darkness. I have equipped you to be the glory carriers that will destroy all darkness, not just a little here and a little there. So are you ready to do all this that God's asking you to do? I have been fellowshipping with you, and I have been wooing you, and I have been instructing you in the ways you should go. Now go and do. Accomplish the works that need to be done in this dispensation of time, not 10 years from now, not what would just come out of it, but right now in this new era, this dispensation of time, God is looking for you to go out there and win souls, get this harvest in the house of God. You want signs, wonders, and miracles, then get out there and work for them. Get out there and put yourself out there on the street, in the marketplace, where God can work through you, where you can bring the lost souls into the house of God, where they can be fed fresh manna from heaven. You cannot be weak and be a harvester. You can't. You have to be strong. You have to be able to withstand anything that Satan puts in your path. Well, he'll make me not pay my rent this month. God can pay your rent. Yeah, really, you know, if I come against Satan too much, he's really going to come and do something bad to me. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. I know. I'm a witness of that. But my God's always been stronger than that devil. If you're afraid of losing some material things, then you're not really committed to God. Or so you lose your job. Do you think God can't find you another job? Well, my husband will leave you. Well, do you think God can't take care of you? You know, you have to get this together. You have to think right. God said, have I not spoken and said the hour is late? Church, you have faltered, but it is not too late to get back up, regroup, and go and do. So if some of you say, well, you know, I fell down, well, get back up. Come on, the Bible says a good man falls down seven times, and seven times he gets back up again. Well, I fell seven times. Well, then make it eight. You know, but keep getting back up. Why are you keeping count anyhow? Are you expecting to fall again and again and again? Don't expect that. Just say, Father, I'm sorry, I missed it again, and get back up and keep on going. That's the only way we're going to make this race. God said this dispensation of time was preordained, and the thief knows this, but he is fighting for all that he has. He does not want to lose one single soul that he has determined he will take into the abyss. And when God spoke that to me, I also heard him say, and these souls that he has determined he will take into the abyss is my people, my servants that are serving me with all of their heart. So if you determine you're going to go all the way with God and you're going to endure anything that devil throws your way, you have a bullseye on you and the devil's after you. Now, can you deal with that? Some of you can't. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, how many times have I said that and I've been tested? And I think to myself, I wish I kept my mouth shut. But, you know, we have to go through the test. We have to win each and every test. You'll find out how strong you really are when the devil really starts attacking you. God said, this cannot happen. These are my children and I love them. I have my angelic host ready to assist you as you go forth undaunted by the cares of the kingdom of darkness. They are ever ready to fight your battles for you. See, we don't believe that either. We don't believe that the angels are there fighting our, and they really are. And I keep praying, God, please let us see the angels so they understand. But that's not walking by faith. If you have to see a big old angel standing in the middle of the room or in your bedroom or something, then you're not walking by faith. We read enough about people who say they do. But why don't we just walk by faith? And I really believe we walk by faith, all of a sudden, bloop, there's going to be an angel. If you keep seeking an angel, you probably never see one. They are ever ready to fight your battles for you. They will be by your side, and you will watch the salvation of the Lord being wrought right before your very eyes. Church, this is just the beginning of the biggest battle between good and evil. We're right in the front line. We're right where it's beginning, guys. This battle that is raging right now must be fought and won by the righteous ones. This battle should be taking the steam out of the evil darkness that looms all around about you. Are you taking the steam out of the enemy, or is he taking the steam out of you? Sometimes I have to check if I have enough, what my steam valve is saying. How about you? Because he's relentless. He just goes on and on, and about time, now I can rest. Here comes another battle you have to go through. It's a never-ending battle. But if you read about Jesus, Jesus had never-ending battles. The disciples had never-ending battles. And poor Paul, we know about all his battles. So what makes you any different? Years ago, I was complaining to God about what I was going through, and he said to me, daughter, I want you to sit down and read all the red writing in the Bible. Then you come back to me, and we'll talk. I never went back and had that talk because I wasn't going through what Jesus went through. And the red writing is all about Jesus. And God knew that when I read the red writing, that I wouldn't be back. So maybe some of you have to get your Bibles out and read everything that's written in red. It's what Jesus said and what he went through. All right? Okay, I said this. God said this battle should be taking the steam out of the evil darkness that looms all around about you. This new era is causing all of my true children. See, he keeps saying true children. And I notice in the word he calls us true children too. To count the cost and then go forward in total battle gear to win every battle. So in the word, he will say, my true children or my true ones. So there he's telling us in the word, not everybody that sits in the house of God is his child. So you have to, you know, look at the fruit that they're bearing. What kind of fruit are they bearing? Are they a true child of God or just somebody sitting in the house of God? Sitting in the house of God is not going to take you to heaven. You have to be totally, completely sold out to him and committed to him and doing the works that he's called us forth to do. All right, God said it's all about souls, souls, souls. This new era is bringing in Acts chapter 2 all over again. Great signs, wonders, and miracles will be wrought and cause a stir in the atmosphere that will catapult many into my kingdom. These new souls will be on fire for me, and they will go forth bold and courageous looking for a fight. Hey, how many? Some of you are saying, no, don't bring me a battle. But I tell you what, when I get really super mad at the devil, I say, you come on, buddy. I'll knock your head right off your shoulders. You know, and I mean that. I get so sick and tired of the things he does because, you know, God's let me see a lot in the spirit realm what he does. I've, you know, and I've had visitations from the devil, and he's trying to tell me what he's going to do. And I know that all he is a bunch of steam, as God said, and he can't do anything unless you allow him to. And we always have to remember we go through Job experiences. You know, and here's old Satan running back and forth through heaven. And God said, what are you doing? Hell, I'm just walking to and fro, seeing which one you guys, or your guys I can get next. Well, let's just try good old Barbara there. And then here goes Barbara going through all of her tests and trials. That's the way it happens. Read your word. Because God told me that one time. You know? Now, oh, what's going on? Well, God just knew you were just that mighty tower. And he's proven to Satan that you're not going to give in. And I think sometimes he goes like this, hides his face as you sort of crawl under the sofa or covers or something. Come on, we have to stand tall and firm, and we have to fight. Fight. It's not easy. Okay, so I said, these new souls will be on fire for me, and they will go forth bold and courageous, looking for a fight. Aren't you glad? Be glad when you actually find that day. Come on, devil, what are we going to do today? Let me knock your head off. And say, no, God, I hope he doesn't find me today. Going to be quiet today and hide somewhere. I don't feel like fighting. You see this? I tell you a truth, you have never seen such boldness in my body of believers. This new generation of fighters will fight to the very end. They are not caring about their lives. Their eyes are fastened on the goal, and the goal is to defeat the enemy at every turn. And that's what Paul did. You watch as I plunder the enemy's goods. I can't wait to that day, right? You watch as I cause the enemy to bow his knee and give back 100-fold, not just 10, 100-fold, what he has stolen from my faithful true ones. You just watch. You just watch. I've been watching, have you? And I'm, he keeps telling me, watch, and I'm watching. You have seen nothing like this, and everyone will know it is me when the dust settles. I think it's wonderful that we are partakers of this. I really do. It's a fight, but I think it's wonderful that God looked at us and saw that we were worthy to do this for him, to fight this battle and win these souls, you know, and be a harvester. Transgression in my body will be halted. That'll be, I've been waiting for that day. Transgression in my body will be halted. I am no longer going to tolerate sin in the houses of refuge. You don't want me? Then I will turn you over to a debased mind, and you can be happy in your own little world. I mean, you know, God just tells you like it is. And you can find that in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, and Leviticus 20, verse 13. Then God said, am I an unjust God? Absolutely not. I have been wooing you for too long now, and I must turn my attention totally and completely to this new harvest of souls. Church, you do not know the fullness of time. The harvest must be brought in right now, or it will rot on the vine. And that's in Galatians 4:4. Where is your commitment? Ask yourself that right now. Ask yourself, where is your commitment? If it is totally committed to me, then rejoice and come, let us go into the fields where the harvest is white unto harvest. And John chapter 4, verse 35 says, Jesus says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. God said, if you are not committed to this harvest, then go your way. Look not back, because your assignment is nullified. Serious time. And God's tired of calling. He's tired of wooing. And he's told me, I'm taking some mantles. I'm working real hard to keep mine. What are you doing with yours? I don't want to go beheaded and stand before God and be judged and him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. As somebody else walks up behind me with my mantle and saunters on into heaven, you know. God said, am I angry? Absolutely not. I am just telling you as it is. And John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. A lot of you took communion this morning. Was you worthy to take it? Are you really committed to God? Now, don't get under condemnation. I'm just wanting you to think. Are you fully committed to God? And why did you take communion? Was it just because it was a thing to do? See, we don't do communion around here unless God tells me to. And the other day, God said, I want you to have communion set up for the whole month. I said, oh. He wanted to let it do it once a month. Now it's the whole month. And so he's going to be doing something with this communion all this month. And I hope and I pray that each one of you who take, and I want you to take communion, please. Don't stop just because of what I said. I say things to make you think. Because I'm not going to stand before God and have your blood on my hands either. You won't be able to say, well, she didn't tell me. Because, oh, yes, I have. And a lot of times I'm standing there talking, you think it's me. It's really not. God just takes over and he just says what he wants to say. What are the years of disappointment in the Bible? Think of the years of disappointment experienced by Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, and Elizabeth. Month after month, year after year, they saw the evidence of their childlessness. You know, they were barren. Job and Joseph had good reason to be disappointed too, both in people and in God. David in disappointment like Moses, David also experienced grave disappointment. David was disappointed a lot. So like Moses, David also experienced grave disappointment. Disappointed disciples. Disappointment among God's people wasn't limited to the Old Testament. Jesus' disciples also knew what it was to be keenly disappointed. Disappointment is the first seed of doubt. All right, so disappointment is the first seed of doubt that intrudes on our faith. Now listen to how this goes. Disappointment sounds so harmless, but it's the tip of a wedge that will stop our spiritual growth and make us bitter and defeated. Think of disappointment as a test permitted by God to see if you'll continue trusting him, obeying him, and believing that he is good. Sources of most disappointment is people and circumstances. Now here's your little pyramid. You have disappointment, discouragement, disillusionment, then depression, and then defeat. That's how it works. Satan has a strategy to invade our spirits and bring us down until we are defeated. The tip of the wedge seems so harmless, it is simply disappointment. But if we let our disappointment fester, the wedge is driven in a little further and we experience discouragement. Unchecked, discouragement becomes disillusionment. Then the wedge invades even more territory as it proceeds to depression. Ultimately, we end up in defeat. I have been disappointed in the people in this church, you know, the staff. And God said to me, daughter, you have to get your eyes off of them and place them on me. I will never disappoint you. People always will. Do you hear that? I don't care if it's a husband, a wife, or kids, or friend. They're always going to disappoint you, but God never will. So how do we prevent the penetration of this deadly wedge into our spirits? We find the answer in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. I just thank you for the little bean heads that I have. You know, I'm just joking. You know what I'm saying? But you have to be thankful too. You just can't say it. A lot of us say things just trying to get ourselves encouraged. All right, Thanksgiving is the antidote to disappointment. Take another look at the wedge and you'll see that the best place to give thanks is at the disappointment level. If we break the progression there, we won't go on to experience the other emotions that stunt our spiritual growth and drag us down to defeat. We have to learn what the writer of the 73rd Psalm learned. The psalmist had learned that when you have nothing left but God, you realize He is enough. A lot of you have not realized that. You still think you have self. Self will get you nowhere, but God will get you everywhere. The prophet Habakkuk learned this same lesson after God revealed to him that Babylon would conquer and destroy his country. Habakkuk came to the conclusion that no matter what his circumstances were, he would find his joy in God. His words could and should be ours. And this is what he said in Habakkuk 3:17-18. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. God said, if you continue to lean on the arms of righteousness, you'll be like Habakkuk and will be able to pray that prayer. But if you continue to lean on the arms of the world, you won't be able to do that and you'll be defeated. Put that little triangle back up there again, will you? Pyramid, where you want to call it. And see how that works. Disappointment first, then discouragement. And this is how it works. This is what I just came through. Disillusionment, and then depression, and then defeat. And you know, when you get on this little pyramid, you don't even want to talk to the people, right? Why talk to them? I've already been through this, and they've disappointed me before. They'll just disappoint me again. That's where your mind will run with you, and you're going to have to make your mind run with God. Some of you in here this morning, you're on that pyramid. Don't complete the pyramid. Don't get to defeat. Start rejoicing in God right now. You really took communion, so start rejoicing. You were saying, God, I want all of you. I just want part of you. I want all of you. So I'm taking communion with you. And I want to walk in total and complete victory in every area of my life. And God is saying, that's not going to be easy. So don't think it's going to be easy. But He's saying, I will be with you all along the path, and I will undergird you, and I will lift you when you fall. And you never need to fear staying down, because I always pick you up. I am there for you, and I'm not against you. And I promise you one thing. I will lead you in the valley of the shadow of death, and I will have my everlasting arms around about you. And you will romp in the fields of lilies, and you will know what it is to stand in full and complete joy before you come home to be with me. Thank you, Father. Disappointment. I can just about say that everybody in here has been going through one disappointment or one type or another. So what God wants to do this morning is He wants to take that spirit of disappointment out of you. And He wants to replace it with encouragement. Encouragement in Him, knowing that He is with you no matter what you're going through. And God says, some of you have stumbled and you've fallen and you're trying to get back up, but you just can't seem to get back up. He said, I'm going to infuse you with my power and my authority, and you'll be able to stand tall and stand firm. So if you want to come to the altar, that's what the altar's for.